Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you hear this broadcast, I'm in Melbourne, Australia. And yes, the water is. But I'm not broadcasting from Melbourne, Australia. It's very confusing until you realize I recorded this broadcast just before I got on the plane. So this is as of Friday, late Friday. And it's probably wise that I recorded the broadcast before I went to Australia, because the hotel that the people who are flying me down there are putting me up at is part of this same resort facility that just last month was fined $35,000 for six breaches of the Casino Control Act in Melbourne, Australia, involving incomplete decks of playing cards. Yes, there's a casino in the hotel. No, there's a hotel in the casino. In gambling parlance, what they did was known as a short deck. I know, we thought that applied to somebody in this country. The breaches were detected last year during games of Texas Hold'em poker at the Crown. In casino in Melbourne. It's believed that in at least one instance, the dealer continued with the game despite realizing that the deck was incomplete, which affected the odds. Another breach occurred last November during a game of Crown Pontoon when an extra card was included in the decks. Human error was to blame. So they're not going to point the fingers at any canines. And Crown was also fined $5,000 last December for a game of blackjack played with an incomplete deck. Well, they just reached the first person to reach 20. And $7,500 in February for a game of Pai Gao involving an incorrect set of tiles. Just one more reason why gambling is such a good deal. Anyway, so I'm glad I don't have to be sitting on the actual real estate in question telling you about that and hoping that the line still goes through. But ladies and gentlemen, so much exciting news this week. My favorite, though, comes from Iraq. Just a glimpse of the new Iraq. Where are they getting the weapons from these days? And where are those weapons going? Well, Iraq has ordered $100 million worth of light weapons from China for its police force. The police force is widely reported by everybody from the Baker Hamilton Commission to the reports this summer by everybody but General Petraeus. The police force is the it's hard to say weak link in Iraq, but of all the forces the Iraqis put on the table, and that table's getting a little crowded, getting busy too, with people putting things on the table and taking them off. Anyway, the Iraqi police force is widely believed to be the most corrupt, infiltrated by militias, engaged in nasty deeds. So China is supplying the Iraqi police force because the United States, according to the Washington Post, was unable to provide the material and too slow to deliver arms shipments. That's according to Iraq's president, Jalal Talabani. The China deal has alarmed military analysts, according to the Post, who note that Iraq's security forces already are unable to account for more than 190,000 weapons supplied to them by the United States, many of which are believed to end up in the hands of Shiite and Sunni militias and insurgents. The U.S. will be there, according to General Odierno. No, it's not an old deodorant. It's a new general. The U.S. will be there for a minimum of at least 3 to 5 more years. So, let's just settle in, shall we? Hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
from the edge of America, from the home of the homeless. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
The most unfairly delayed apology of the week. Tallahatchie County officials apologized this week to the Emmett Till family for that county's failure to bring justice in his killing in 1955. Till was a 14-year-old black youth from Chicago. On August 31st of that year, his body came to the surface of the Tallahatchie River. Roy Brand and J.W. Milam admitted they had abducted Till, but claimed they'd released him unharmed. An all-white jury acquitted them, only to have them confess their guilt months later to Look magazine. No state charges were ever filed. During an event this summer, Tallahatchie County officials unveiled a state historic marker commemorating the murder. The most distasteful apology of the week came from Montreal. Eh? There was a body mix-up at Notre Dame des Neiges Cemetery. A family didn't recognize the casket being brought to the plot. Lawyer for the families, Deborah De Tomasis, says loved ones of Lucia Panunzio were in shock. It took about a half hour for the switch to be corrected. The cemetery's executive director attributed the mistake to human error. No canines were blamed or charged, and apologized to the Panunzio family. The most unnecessary apology of the week, perhaps. Makers of the hit U.S. television series Desperate Housewives have apologized for a slur against Filipino medical workers that caused an uproar in the Southeast Asian country. The apology was sent to Philippine broadcaster ABS-CBN in the United States and aired in the Philippines on Thursday following protests by the Manila government. The producers of Desperate Housewives and ABC offer our sincere apologies. You know how sincere they are. They're in broadcasting for any offense caused by the brief reference in the season premiere. There was no attempt to disparage the integrity of any aspect of the medical community in the Philippines, it said. The episode showed Terry Hatcher, who plays Susan Mayer, asking during medical consultation to check, quote, those diplomas because I want to make sure they're not from some med school in the Philippines, unquote. Philippine President Gloria Arroyo said the line of dialogue appeared to be a racial slur. Philippine senator said the apology was not enough. See? That's what I mean by not necessary. The apology most designed to make us envious. Transport Minister Ho Ngia Dung and representatives of a Japanese consortium, TKN, that is building the collapsed Kanto Bridge, made an official apology this week to the families of victims in Vietnam. At a press conference near the site of the accident, which was attended by more than 60 local and international reporters, Minister Dung and executives from the Japanese company apologized for the collapse a week and a half ago of two spans of the bridge. Dung said the bridge collapse was the largest industrial accident and the worst bridge disaster in Vietnam to date, and said he was deeply sorry for the accident, which left 49 workers dead and 82 injured. Maybe the Corps of Engineers should be sent over there for apology training. In the most predictable apology of the week, Marion Jones admitted using steroids before the 2000 Olympics in a recent letter to close family and friends. This was divulged by the Washington Post this week. Jones said she took the clear. Don't get excited, Scientologists. She took the clear for 2 years beginning in 1999, and she got it from her former coach. The coach had told her it was flaxseed oil, but in fact it's a performance-enhancing drug linked to Balco, the lab at the center of the steroids scandal in professional sports. Jones had steadfastly denied she ever took any kind of performance-enhancing drugs, but she's pleading guilty to charges of connection with steroid use, and also she lied to federal investigators. I want to apologize for all this, the Post reported Jones saying to her in her letter, quoting a person who received a copy and read it to the paper. I'm sorry for disappointing you all in so many ways. She faces up to 6 months in jail. Red flags should have been raised when he, the coach, told me not to tell anyone. Yeah, because people would want to know where you got that flaxseed oil and probably drive the price up. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries has withdrawn member states' new crude oil output quotas from its website after allegedly apologizing to Venezuela for mistakenly assigning it a sharply lower allocation. from Connecticut. State Representative Matt Barrett was trying to explain to a group of Norwalk High School seniors how a bill becomes a law. When the image from his PowerPoint presentation came on the screen, Barrett could not believe his eyes. The image of a naked woman appeared on the screen. He quickly unplugged the system. It took a second to realize, quote, "Wow, what's going on here?" Barrett said. "I immediately apologized." He didn't stop there. School officials called the Norwalk Police Department, which notified the State Highway Patrol. Because Barrett is a state representative, Barrett voluntarily handed the computer over to troopers who were sending it for investigation. No subpoenas were issued, nor were warrants. Wow, what happened? Other apologies to do with education. The crossword puzzle assigned as a homework lesson for some Sequatchie County, Tennessee, fifth graders studying a book about the 19th century South asked them to use the N-word as an answer. At least one parent complained, and the teachers apologized. The teacher obtained the crossword from a website, edhelper.com. A parent said his son's teacher assigned the homework as a supplement to Sounder, a book the class is reading. The book is commonly used in classrooms nationwide to illustrate racial bigotry and sharecropping hardships through the eyes of a young black boy. The middle school principal says he cannot believe the puzzle with words like cabin, smokehouse, and lantern also included the N-word along with its clue, quote, an insulting way to label a black person. The puzzle's answers were words associated with the book. Here's a Scrabble-related apology. An Ulster, that's a Northern Ireland father, called for a video Scrabble game to be recalled after discovering the slang word Lesbo in its anagram section. Zachary McAdam was shocked to find the term, which he considers homophobic, according to the Belfast Telegraph. That's his definition for Lesbo, included in the Nintendo DS console Junior Scrabble 2007 game. Mr. McAdam is an IT project manager from Holywood, not Hollywood. He was playing the game with his 7-year-old daughter, Ellen, but was forced to stop when the word appeared. Scrabble 2007 is manufactured by a French software giant Ubisoft and uses words listed in the Chamber's official Scrabble dictionary. In a statement, Ubisoft apologized for any offense caused to Mr. McAdam. "We are sorry," it said, "if Scrabble 2007 for the DS has caused concern to any of our customers. Ubisoft develops games for entertainment with the goal of bringing enjoyment to the players, and it is, of course, never our intention to upset them." The dictionary includes words used in the English language, but that may be considered unusual or offensive. It is for this reason that the game includes a junior option which will prevent the player and computer using these unusual or offensive words in playing. However, the company's explanation continued, Lesbo is not considered as offensive by the official dictionary and therefore is playable in the junior version. The most overdue apology of the week. Cheryl Witz was shopping for a birthday cake in McLean, Virginia, when her cell phone rang. Waiting to speak to her was one of the nation's most notorious serial killers, the man who killed her father 5 years ago. Said Lee Boyd Malvo, "I need to apologize for what I've done to you and your family." Nice. And Dateline Tampa, Florida, Southwest Airlines said it plans to apologize to a Florida passenger after an employee forced him to change out of a supposedly sexually suggestive T-shirt or risk getting thrown off the plane. What's with Southwest? The incident in Columbus, Ohio, came after, of course, Southwest created a public uproar by telling a woman on a flight in July that her outfit was too revealing for her to fly. Joe Winieski, you tell me, said he was sitting in the last row of a Columbus to Tampa flight when an employee told him he had to change his T-shirt, turn it inside out, or get off the plane. The shirt bought in the Virgin Islands uses sexual double entendre to promote a fictional fishing tackle shop. The largest lettering reads, quote, "Master Baiter, B-A-I-T-E-R. Wineski argued the airline was violating his right to free speech, but he changed rather than risk getting kicked off the flight. Southwest, as I say, plans to apologize. I'd like to see those plans. Step one, think about it. And Toyota apologized this week for operational blunders at the Japanese Grand Prix held at the Fuji Speedway track in Tokyo last weekend. A total of 7,000 spectators could not clearly see the circuit because views from their section were obstructed. They will be reimbursed. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, spanning the gamut. A copyrighted feature of this broadcast. News from the new Iraq now. The Iraqi government has thwarted investigations into corruption at the top levels of the administration, including probes of Prime Minister Maliki's relatives, where nearly four dozen anti-corruption employees or their family members have been brutally murdered. This from the former top Iraqi corruption investigator this week. Every week there's a story about how bad corruption is in Iraq. Seems to be true. Judge Radi Hamza al-Radi, former commissioner of the Iraqi Commission on Public Integrity, is now seeking asylum in the United States. He said his investigators had discovered rampant corruption in Iraqi ministries that had cost the country as much as $18 billion, but only 241 cases out of 3,000 forwarded to the courts had seen any judicial action. "We have learned the hard way that the corrupt will stop at nothing," Radi said. "They are so corrupt they will attack their accusers and their families with guns and meat hooks, as well as countercharges of corruption." One of his staff members was gunned down with his 7-month pregnant wife. The security chief's father was found dead on a meat hook, and the body of the father of another staff member was riddled with holes from a power drill. Nice people doing nice things. Hey, democracy's messy, wasn't it? What Don Rumsfeld used to tell us. Now, lessons learned department. And how better to learn lessons than to keep them secret? The nation is preparing for its biggest terrorism exercise this coming week with three fictional dirty bombs going off, crippling transportation arteries in two major U.S. cities, and Guam. Just threw in Guam for the exercise. But even as the drill begins, details from the previous national anti-terrorism exercise held 2 years ago have yet to be publicly released, even though that's information that's supposed to help officials prepare for the next real attacks. So you see, lessons would be learned if they were made public. This is the fourth top officials exercise called Top Off. The program costs about $25 million a year. It's been required by Congress since 2000, but Congress has done little of the way, in the way of oversight beyond attending the events. Says former Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge, the challenge with Top Off is to move as quickly as possible to remedy what perceives to be the problems that are uncovered. But he says it's not acceptable that the review from the 2005 exercise is still not released publicly. This year's Top Off will build on lessons learned from previous exercises, according to Homeland Security. So apparently, it wasn't kept secret from them. According to a brief summary of the 2005 exercise, marked for official use only but obtained by the Associated Press, problems arose when officials realized that the federal government's law for providing assistance in emergencies does not cover biological incidents. Nice that we discover that. Now, what, 6 years after the anthrax thing? 6 years, ladies and gentlemen. But the future looks brighter when we think about clean, safe, plentiful, clean, affordable, cheap nuclear energy. The proposed nuclear waste storage facility at Yucca Mountain in Nevada will need up to 3 times its current funding, or the program's opening date, now scheduled for 2017, will have to be delayed again, according to a top Energy Department official. Quote, "Based on our recently completed program schedule and cost estimate, annual funding will be needed at levels 2 to 3 times the current appropriations." What the hell do they think it is? The Olympics? Can't have cost overruns like that with something that's not the Olympics. The total life cycle cost estimate for the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Disposal Program concluded in 2001 that the program will cost $57.5 billion. Those are $2,000. Those are dollars as of 2000. A revised estimate is expected by the end of this year and will include costs for accepting 30% more spent nuclear fuel through the repository's closing. By the way, do you know when Yucca Mountain will close? 2133. After that, you're on your own. You figure out something to do with your nuclear waste. And just because we haven't heard yet this week about our friends in Pakistan. Pakistan's government is losing its war against emboldened insurgent forces, giving al-Qaeda and the Taliban more territory in which to operate and allowing the groups to plot increasingly ambitious attacks. That's what Pakistani and Western security officials told the Washington Post this week. The depth of the problem has become clear only in recent months, according to the Post, as the regional peace deals, derided here when they were signed, have collapsed, and the government has deferred developing a new strategy to defeat insurgents until after the election. All but a certainty of General Musharraf. They, referring to the Taliban and al-Qaeda, they've had a chance to regroup and reorganize as a Western military official in Pakistan. They're well-equipped, he continues. They're clearly getting training from somewhere, and they're using more and more advanced tactics. Pakistan's military, on the other hand, is considering pulling back from the fight, at least partially, in the face of mounting losses, says the Washington Post. They're not trained for a counterinsurgency, says this Western military official. It's not their number one priority. It's not even their number two priority, said the official, who spoke on condition of anonymity. Pakistani military officials concede they're searching for a new strategy now that the old one has gone awry. And the Asian Times reports this week that in the past 10 days, militants have launched at least 9 carefully planned operations against the Pakistan army in the tribal areas. As a result, says the Asian Times, all security operations against the Taliban and their al-Qaeda colleagues in the tribal areas have stopped, and by all accounts, quote, the army is running scared, unquote. Now, you have to hand it to them. At least they're running.
There go your big black limousine. You're shaking your booty for the magazine. Peeking and posing like a wannabe. It ain't right. It ain't right. Such a waste of life. Maybe you forgot how we live down here. People work hard for the morning gear. You had such a hard day, look at the mirror. It ain't right, it ain't right. Honey, it's such a waste of life.
This is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm. Won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Somebody on a Seattle radio station that carries this broadcast actually quoted me saying, won't you? As Harry Shearer says, won't you? That's what I want to be known for. Ladies and gentlemen, as vast areas of rural Australia teeter on the brink of a devastating crop failure due to drought, that's where I am now. A report has predicted worse droughts to come, and added to questions about current Australia government policies on climate. The National Australia Bank, a major lender to agriculture, warns that heavy losses are looming on farms as their winter crops will suffer failure after this year's spring rains failed to develop. The warning came as the Bureau of Meteorology, in a major new report on climate change, signaled the current drought was a foretaste of things to come, confirming scientists' worst fears about the impact of climate change. The report said the state of Victoria faced a... that's where Melbourne is. That's where I am. Faced a 10% reduction in average rainfall and a 4-degree average temperature rise over the next 60 years if carbon emissions were not slashed. It's a slasher story. Or not. Even if immediate action to cut emissions is taken, it says temperatures will increase, drought will become more frequent, and rainfall will decrease over the next six decades. This is the most comprehensive assessment of Australia's climate to date, based on the work of more than 50 scientists.
Yeah, that's junk scientists.
No, it's not. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It's grim projections of more droughts, heat waves, brush fires, and severe weather were released in Sydney. Dr. Tim Flannery says urgent action was needed ahead of upcoming climate talks in Bali. Well, they're not having too bad a time, the climate conferees. Why don't they meet in Peoria? They'd hammer out something pretty fast. Britain's chief scientist, Sir David King, says there's no choice but to adopt globally binding greenhouse gas emission targets. Quote, I do not understand how we can manage a global problem with an aspirational set of targets, Sir David said, making fun in that quote, in a very delicate manner of President Bush's voluntary targets. It makes no sense for any individual business or country to claim its contribution to climate change was so small it would not have to take action, he says. Farmers are already battling long-term drought in Australia, and the federal government is spending billions of Australian dollars to bail them out. Harsher conditions are ahead. The amount by which rainfall decreases could reach up to 10% by 2030, 20% by 2070, or 30% if emissions aren't really slashed. These decreases in rainfall are likely to mean more drought as we know drought today, said the scientists. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen, won't you? Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Well, the Blackwater hearings, actually it was a hearing, it was one day. Eric Prince, the Republican, it's interesting how well connected he is into Republican political circles. He gives his, he's married into the Amway family and they give big time. So Blackwater gets these contracts. Blackwater's contract that's currently coming under controversy, coming into controversy, is the contract to protect State Department personnel, embassy personnel, and others in Iraq. That's the duty they were on when the one, or we learned this week, two firearms-related incidents occurred on September 16th that have Blackwater in a bit of spot of bother, as I believe Sir David King might put it. The initial State Department investigation into the September 16th incident, we learned this week, was being written by an employee of Blackwater. Of course, when it became public, that all changed. And meantime, we learn from Seymour Hersh's article in this week's New Yorker that the United States is changing its targeting. Its targets in Iran, Hersh concludes that the administration could not make a political sale for attacking Iran's nuclear program, and so is retargeting to direct the training camps of the Republican Guards, whom the Senate a week and a half ago passed a non-binding resolution declaring that the Republican Guards should be declared a terrorist organization. A lot of Democrats voted for that one. They'll be very happy in a few months that they did. And, of course, behind it all, the velvet hand of Dick Cheney, who is, at least in the Seymour Hersh article in New Yorker, pointed out to be the most relentless force in the administration pushing for some kind of dealing with Iran. Also this week, the New York Times came out with a couple of secret memos that the Justice Department issued soon after Alberto Gonzalez became Attorney General. While the administration was saying that they abhorred torture, these newly released secret memos gave legal authorization for waterboarding, head slapping, a few other enhanced interrogation techniques, both by themselves and in combination. And as we all know from the headache pill commercials, combination of ingredients, more effective. But to understand really, and also Chris Matthews, the host of MSNBC's Hardball show, made news this week when he spoke at a social gathering in Washington, just a few days before he moderates a Republican presidential debate. And he said words to the effect that the criminality, that word he actually used, of this administration is finally coming to light. So I guess he'll be getting warm hugs from the Republican presidential nominees this week. Matthews also complained that this administration, unlike the Clinton administration, goes to the bosses of people in the media whose opinions or reporting they don't like. Really? You think that's true? Only one way to find out, and that's to go underground.
Next, intimate tales of America's first underground vice president. The action-packed diary of the man who's just a heartbeat away from history. Dick Cheney. Confidential. Usually with the end of summer, the gnats and the flies disappear. But one of the pesky critters has just reappeared. The Hirsch guy at the New Yorker, publishing lurid imaginings about our retargeting our supposed attack on Iran. From their supposed nukes to their alleged training camps, all of which helps no one, but does make us add a couple more layers of security to our retargeting of our attack on Iran. Now the only people who have access to those plans are my constituent in chief, myself, and Alberto Gonzalez, just in case we need a legal opinion. How we make operational a plan that the military doesn't even know the details of, well, that's a problem for another day. Probably next Tuesday. Meantime, I had smaller fish to fry. A certain cable news commentator had stuck in my craw like warmed over elk shanks. I thought I might apply a little well-oiled muscle to his boss, Jeff Zucker, during the course of a purely social hunting trip. But both he and I had scheduling problems in getting out to Montana. So we were at the secure, undisclosed location, which the Navy Seabees have already decorated with way too many pumpkins, doing the next best thing to hunting. Friday, 11:17 a.m.
Hey, you got her.
Wow, it's my first deer.
Your first virtual deer. Real ones are trickier.
Unbelievably lifelike game, though.
Yeah. What's that in the clearing?
Where?
Over the...
Missed it.
Magnificent creature, that is. I've stalked him for weeks. He's 8th level. You can't even think about winging him till you're 7th level.
Man, this is a fine game. Is it on the market?
Do you see anything in this entire secure and disclosed location that's on the market?
Well, now that you...
It was an offshoot of a training game the Army uses. The Pentagon programmer changed the humans to game animals in his spare time.
See, I'm just thinking, a reality show that's a virtual safari, if we could put the contestants inside this game environment, that's a Dancing with the Stars killer.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Jeff, I know you're a busy man, and I know I am, so why don't I get to the point? Good question. Your boy, Chris Matthews, what's his story?
Oh, you know, former political operative turned newspaper columnist turned cable TV talking head, the usual.
Mm-hmm. You know, some folks around here think he's getting entirely too personal in his little critiques, impugning the commander-in-chief during wartime. probably affecting troop morale.
The troops get to see Hardball?
My friend, it's the 21st century. The troops get YouTube.
Mr. Vice President.
Hey, we've shot virtual quail together. I'm Dick.
All right, Dick. I don't want you to think I'm being self-righteous or getting on some sort of soapbox or anything, but last time I looked, whatever Chris Matthews says is constitutionally protected speech.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, a gazelle?
Yeah, the guy had some African footage he digitized.
Hmm.
Jeff, you know how we operate. We don't screw around. As the president likes to say, we don't do nuance.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a goal we need to accomplish. The right tool for the job is the first heavy object within reach.
Well, Dick, if we're talking about our licenses, that's a part of the business that's above my pay grade, so...
Jeffrey, nobody's going to threaten your licenses. My God, that would be the surest way to start creating an anti-business environment. What a chilling effect that would have.
I appreciate that, sir, as to the people above my pay grade.
But who knows? We might have someone right now over at the Justice Department working on a secret legal opinion that reinterprets that whole quaint notion of constitutionally protected speech.
You might?
And we might not. I'm not here to give you a so-called news story, my friend. Just a gentle reminder. That we're big fans of good morale.
You know, it's funny, that one cable channel is such a small part of our overall communications universe. It's really not worth arguing over. I mean...
Jeffrey, my friend, nothing's as refreshing as good old-fashioned common sense. Oh, I know you've got to go soon, but before you do, just take a couple of shots at that koala. It was like target practice, and I'm not talking about the game. But later in the day, it was back to harder work, grappling with one of my few remaining Washington nemeses. Trouble with these people is they don't know how to take go screw yourself for an answer. So I had to administer a little booster shot of persuasion to a woman I call Madam Secretary. And she's not even my secretary. Friday, 3:17 p.m.
So, Mr. Vice President, rare for you to agree to meet on my turf.
Condi, in case you haven't noticed, my power doesn't flow from where I'm sitting. Its source is a little bit higher.
God.
I was thinking of the Heritage Foundation, but okay, God will do. Now, let's talk Blackwater.
Yes, let's do. I think I've expended just about enough political capital protecting your cowboy friends.
Ooh.
Let's not forget that I was the one who approved letting the first draft investigation of Blackwater be written by an employee of Blackwater.
Oh, don't get me wrong, sweetheart. I admired that move. It had a classy kind of brazenness to it. Almost reminded me of a young me. But then it becomes public.
Dick, this department leaks worse than the guy in the Flomax commercial.
The what?
Sorry, I watch TV when I'm on the elliptical. Look, you can't stop this bureaucracy from leaking.
Asked and answered, Toots. What clanged like amateur night in Poughkeepsie was your response.
What? We rescinded the decision.
Bingo, Bright Eyes. Look, I'll spell it out for you by actually saying the words. Positions of enhanced aggressiveness derive all their power from one simple principle. You never back down from them. Once you do, you're admitting that you inhabit a world of regrets and apologies and taking other people's opinions into account. In case you missed the secret memos, that's not the world we're choosing to inhabit during wartime.
Dick, this isn't a position I want to be in either. I walked into this place to find that Secretary Powell had entered into this no-bid contract with these people.
One of the few smart things he did.
And, silly me, I wanted our personnel over there protected by our military or federal marshals or something or someone else. But that no-bid contract has a very strange no-cancellation clause with a quite remarkable poison pill provision.
The one involving a real poison pill?
That's the one.
Look, sweetums, there are few enough of us left here who are trustworthy enough to still get the real briefings. Plenty of time to fight over credit after we've won these three wars.
Three?
Well, Who's counting?
Look, Dick. The FBI is all over the Blackwater thing now. That train has left the station. I think our efforts are better directed toward ramping up our Iran diplomacy.
Nice shop's taking care of it. No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm just saying, yes. So the FBI's on the ground poking around in the Blackwater account. They still have to report to a supervisor.
I suppose so.
Well, why can't that supervisor be an employee of...
Blackwater?
Fast Learner.
Well, it almost reminded me of a young you.
Sometimes it seems as though candy is the one kind of rice that's better when sticky. I don't know what that means either, but that's what diaries are for. End of partial diary for the beginning of October 2007. Sincerely yours, Dick Cheney. Confidential.
I wish wish every day would be just like today.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. Well, they're not that backward in Burma. The government of Myanmar, as the generals call it, is using photos sent to websites, television stations, and other media over the internet and over cell phone systems in order to identify and arrest protesters, while at the same time praising China's Tiananmen Square crackdown, which turned foreign news videos into wanted posters to capture dissidents. This according to the Asia Times. Burma's security forces have detained over 2,000 people in the wake of last week's unrest and military crackdown. The authorities claim to have already released over 680 of those detained, but there are new reports of continued arrests. Residents say military trucks patrol neighborhood streets during the night with loudspeakers broadcasting warnings. We have photographs. We are going to make arrests, says a Thailand-based magazine, Irrawaddy. The junta in Burma employed camera-wielding security forces during the pro-democracy marches while harassing and assaulting independent journalists who tried to cover the unrest. The regime appears also to be gleaning the faces and identities of protesters from countless video and still photos shot by journalists, bloggers, and local residents who use cell phones, email, and websites to transmit pictures to the outside world. The authorities' use of photos to hunt people echoes China's June 1989 crackdown in Tiananmen Square. Also in Asia, Beijing's latest crackdown, turning the world's most populous country into a clean site for the new Olympics, it involves cleaning up the airwaves and the roadways. Even at the same time that Ang Lee's award-winning film Lust, Caution takes eroticism to new heights in Chinese language cinema, also according to Asia Times. But China's State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television, the SARFT, is busy banning advertisements for women's underwear. The problem, it seems, is the targeted lingerie's provocative selling point, propping up sagging tops and reining in expanding middles. The ban also includes products that claim to improve sexual performance, sexual toys, and inelegant images in ads for adult products. Illegal sexual medication advertisements and other harmful ads pose a grave threat to society, warns the SARFT. This is a continuation of a campaign against sex and violence on the airwaves that started this past summer and has since gathered steam. Last month, SARFT ordered 11 radio shows off the air in southern and central China for broadcasting content that the agency described as of an extreme pornographic nature. Radio? God, have I been missing the boat. In addition, the watchdog censored two radio stations in Sichuan province for airing programs of indescribably squalid, erotic, and indecent content. I have never in my life wanted to go to Sichuan province. Until now. Television shows about cosmetic surgery have also been canceled, as have American Idol-style talent shows, apparently because regulators are rattled by the mass voting via mobile phones and the internet that they encourage. Actually, the effort to clean up the country's airwaves has more to do with the all-important 17th National Congress of the Chinese Communist Party coming up the middle of this month than with the Olympics. That's a year away. Plenty of time to clean it up after that. And finally, outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, tsunami reconstruction funds worth $500 million are being lost to fraud and corruption because of the failure by the UN to implement its own anti-fraud measures. This claim is made by the UN's former Deputy Director of Investigations, Frank Montil, who for a decade was the Internal Watchdog Unit's Deputy Director. He says the oil-for-food scandal, quote, taught them nothing. unquote. The fraud and corruption that had been occurring during the tsunami reconstruction period would come back to haunt the UN, he said, which had willfully ignored all the warning signs. He was sent to the devastated areas of Indonesia after the tsunami. His task was to assess the risks of fraud, waste, and mismanagement in the public funding that the appeal generated, and which the UN was responsible for allocating. When you have a disaster zone, he says, you have all sorts of drifters and con men walking in. Why didn't he say that a couple years ago, at the time of Katrina? His findings make for frightening reading. His inquiry showed that every project would automatically attract a 10% premium to cater for bribes to a variety of parties who may have an influence on whether or not a project will go ahead. His team learned there was always collusion in large infrastructure and building procurement between company and public officials. His report says companies that won the contract through a fake lowest bid inevitably overpriced it, as it had already been determined it would, if it won. It would then offer subcontracting jobs on projects to the unsuccessful bidders. But the report lay on the desk of the former Secretary General Kofi Annan for 8 months. This is all from The Age in Australia. When The Age contacted the UN, a spokesman provided the General Assembly's response to the report. From last December, it read in part, the Deputy Secretary General indicated a number of funds and programs had expressed the view that their tsunami activities had already been extensively audited and that a further report would be superfluous. Montiel said this response was one of willful abdication of the UN's obligations. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apology Desk checks in with a last-minute addition. Dateline Cardiff, Wales. City leaders in Cardiff, Wales have withdrawn their support for pole dancing classes for preteens after angry parents equated it with teaching striptease. The Cardiff City Council apologized to the public and revamped the city's website to remove a suggestive photo of a woman wrapped around a pole that was used to advertise the classes to children as young as 11. Quote, we clearly misjudged the age range issue, and it has been a salutary lesson, unquote, a council spokesman. So they talk in Wales. Councillor Diane Reeves, not the singer, said she was appalled by the classes and urged the establishment of a panel to monitor choreography and exercise programs offered by the city. Public money, she said, is being spent after all. Sorry for the pole dancing classes for your 11-year-olds. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide, throughout Europe, on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world, to the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America, via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet 7.415 megahertz, around the world, on the internet, and available on your computer at two different locations, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, live and archived. On the Mighty 104 in Berlin, on Sirius and XM satellite radios. A free download of this program is available at www.audible.com/theshow. Yes, it's a slasher show. And a free podcast is available at www.kcrw.com. And it'll be just like not pronouncing the W's. If you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. By the way, if you can't wait till next week for a dose of yours truly, www.mydamnchannel.com. Damn as in, you know, the way the Chinese wouldn't want you to spell it. Every week, a new piece of video from yours truly. And right now, if you get there right now, it's see Dan Rather deciding whether to wear the trench coat. And if so, collar up or collar down. MyDamnChannel.com. And while we're recommending websites, HarryShearer.com is a place to go if you want an email link to this program and its host, or if you want playlists of the music heard on this broadcast, HarryShearer.com. A tip of the Le Show Chapeau to the Pittsburgh and San Diego desks and to Pam Halstead. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.